Coming up on TMS, 16 candles on your cake.
The terrible egg.
Shark woman.
Free hugs and free punches.
Your diamond is no match for my hydraulic press.
I got another man's unit.
Oh, finally. Major spoilers.
V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I'm looking for the goddess. Are you the goddess? Who is the goddess? The goddess is the woman, is a woman, is any woman, is all women.
Man. When folks do that, I pull a Hershey bar out of my back pocket and smear it all over my face. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. It's the show that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS for short. It's Monday, the 16th of May, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hello.
Guten Morgen.
How are you?
Fine. I'm good. It's okay. It's fine. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. Those are the same thing, so I'll just say that. What else? I've been played a lot of Doom. You know, the video game Doom. Not the original, like, 30 years ago one, or 25 year, whatever it's been. How long has it been? 92, 93, was it?
Jeez, yeah, that's
so that
crazy.
Would have been 22 years ago, 24 years ago, whatever
new
it is.
Hot business is what you played.
Yeah. Brand new. And let me tell you something. For all those people who've been for years saying, no, we don't want Doom 3. That wasn't what we wanted. We want Doom the way we want Doom. We want it to feel like Doom did. We want it to be graphically cool and everything and be all moderned up, but we don't want it to feel like they have to wedge in a bunch of modern ideas. We just want Doom-ass Doom, where you walk into a room and immediately you go to work. There's no big story ahead of time. You just kind of figure stuff out as you go and you start blowing people away immediately. That's what that's what the people want, right?
Right.
That's
right.
What they got. That game is great. Yes. So no more complaining. You got the game you asked for, everybody. The multiplayer is But the single player.
I never played Doom for the multiplayer anyway, though. I thought it was way fun just as a standalone first-person shooter.
Yeah, it's an incredible campaign and totally worth your time and money. And I shouldn't have bought it because I have other games to play, but damn it.
Did you finish Uncharted?
No, I will.
Did you finish Syndicate?
I have this problem with Uncharted, and that is that I promised my daughter I would only play it with her. So,
oh, see?
I know. She got a new job.
It's like the don't worry, honey, I'll only watch Bosch with you.
Yep.
Right? And it's like, oh, I could be watching a Bosch right now.
Yep. That's a perfect example. It happens with the TV stuff all the time. I mean, I'm watching Game of Thrones completely without Kim this season, which we've never done before. And it's not because she doesn't, it's mainly because she can't watch something late on a Sunday that won't keep her up unless it's something goofy like Seinfeld or some comedy. So she's just weird that way. She can't sleep after she sees, like, X-Files or something. So, speaking of which, she's all into that. She's watching all of the X-Files. She never watched it back in the day, and now she's watching all of
really?
That. Because she's so obsessed with that. I'm like, well, honey, I have to watch Game of Thrones because, you know, I talk about it on shows and stuff. It's like a requirement. Mm-hmm. So I watched that last night, and I'm here to tell you something, Brian.
Yeah?
No spoilers, but here's the deal. That show is having, I think, one of its best seasons so far.
I think so, too. I'm glad you
really
said that
good.
Because
really good.
Another buddy of mine who read all the books and who he says, well, OK, yeah, that's, you know, Astapor is actually where so-and-so actually originally came from. And then he moved here and then he was like fighter of the Green Men and then da da da.
Yeah.
And he knows like all the history and lore and stuff. And he says that he calls this season so far a hot mess.
I disagree.
And I don't know if he's watched a single episode.
I think he's full of it. And how would he know anyway? Because the book that the new stuff's referring to isn't even out yet.
Right, exactly.
So I don't know that I would call it a hot mess. I think it's extremely well put together. I really like it so far. And I've noticed something. We're now we're all like four episodes in or something? Something like that?
That's something like that, yeah.
This season is notable in its lack of gratuitous nudity as compared to previous seasons. And when I say gratuitous, people are like on Twitter going, well, I guess you didn't watch the final scene. That's your head. You know, no. I'm talking about gratuitous. You got to look up the word if you want to know what gratuitous means. Gratuitous right. nudity meaning like the HBO thing, which is like, for no reason and no real reason for the story.
Exactly.
Let's we'll just have naked people for no reason.
We could have easily had three naked women walk into a scene in last night's show for no reason whatsoever.
Yep.
And there was a specific scene where three women came in. They were ladies of ill repute. I don't know.
Ladies of the night. Ladies of the night.
Ladies of the night. Yeah. Or the afternoon, because it was sun coming in.
Ladies of the afternoon.
Ladies of the afternoon. And they could have easily been nude or been nude at some point during that scene, and they weren't. So that would have been gratuitous.
It would have been gratuitous, and it would have been very HBO to do it. And I come into this show just expecting it and thinking, all right, hurry up. I need to get to the part where Jon Snow says something. Or hurry up. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, like it kind of annoys me. And I've noticed this year, no gratuity. It's all just kind of normal. Like the thing last night, I wouldn't call that gratuitous at all. I'd call that like part of the badassery. Like,
well, yes. Plus, I mean, it's just physics.
Yeah, it's also realism on fantasy, right?
Right, exactly.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a definite change. And then so then this flood of people are like, oh, you didn't hear, I guess. There was some internal conversation with all of the, I guess all the female actresses had gotten together. Actors, I guess. Actresses, is that off the table now? Can we not say actress?
I think actress is still okay.
Okay, as long as it's still a category in the Oscars, I guess we're keeping it. But anyway, they all got together and just said, look, we'd just rather do less of this for when there's no reason for it. And if there's a reason for it, that's one thing. But if we don't have a reason for it, then what are we doing? And it is markedly different than previous seasons. And I'm going to make the argument that it makes the show better when they don't do it just for the sake of doing it. Just like I don't like when movies, I don't mind a sweary movie. Bring it on. Let it swear all day. I don't mind a violent movie. Let it be violent. What I'm saying is when it serves the story and the arc and the characters, then things make sense. But when you do it just to do it, you feel that, and it just feels lazy. It just like
you feel like you've got a quota. Well, we didn't have any boobs in the last two episodes. We need boobs in this episode.
Yeah, and it just feels like, I don't know, it just feels too easy for them to do. So I guess grats to them, because for whatever reason, that plus I think just a really solid bunch of energy this year. The season feels really good to me. There's just something about it. I don't know what it is, but I'm digging it. Maybe it's because nobody's read past this point, including me, and I don't know what to expect, and so I'm not getting things going, oh yeah, that's that thing there, you know, I see how they did that, or you know, I'm not doing that anymore.
Of course. Know? Yeah, you're with the rest of us now.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Didn't read the books.
It's really good. Anyway, so
this
if you're not watching
it. This is what it's like for all of us now, Scott.
Also, quick shout out, my son Nicholas turned 16 today. He is at the orthodontist right now getting his braces removed on his birthday.
Cool.
So he's getting braces removal birthday. He also gets, I thought he got his license today, but I was wrong. He gets it in 2 weeks, but he's close. And then I just got a photo from him that cracked me up.
Has he been practicing, like doing a lot of driving practice and stuff?
Oh,
like
yeah.
He's had his permit now for a while, right?
Oh yeah, for like a year. He's ready. Mm-hmm. He's good. He drives really well. So I got, he sent me a picture of a get out of class note that he got because he had to go to the orthodontist. So they gave him an excuse note. All right. It says here, reason, attendance, date 5/16/2016. Here's the description. You ready for this? Clout mom person, 7:54 AM. Does that make any sense to you?
Clout mom person.
Oh, I'm sorry. C couch. So it's like CK out. So that's like short for checkout.
I
get that.
Okay. Yep.
Checkout. And I understand it being mom, meaning that's who's getting
mom him. Checked him out. Yep.
But check out mom person?
Personal as opposed to a...
Oh, personal.
Non-personal?
They can't put the extra two letters in? That is the stupidest note. Look at that chat room. It's right there. You can see yourselves. Isn't that dumb? That's dumb. All right, fine.
Shoot me some video when you get a second.
Oh, you know, it's funny when you tell me that. I always forget. Okay, there you go. You see me now?
Yeah, I see you now.
Here, look at this.
All right, I'll look at it now.
It's hard to see.
Glare. So, all right. Well.
Sorry. Didn't really do us any good. Well, that was all worth it then. That was all worth it.
Every bit worth it. Yes.
So we went
well,
to...
Well, now I feel like I'm talking to a person and not a recording.
Right. So yesterday... So long story short, Kim and I went on a date. I don't... Mm-hmm. All the circumstances leading up to how we got time to have a date or where the kids were, it doesn't matter. Kim and I decided to go to brunch at a place called The Egg and I.
Oh, we have those here.
Yes. And it's a smaller smallish chain, but they're kind of around the region, and they're cool, right? I like them.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of different things than your typical, like, Denny's or Perkins or stuff like that.
Yeah, fancy food.
Lots of Benedicts.
Mm-hmm.
Like a whole Many Benedicts. Page of Benedicts on their countrified menu.
Yeah, it's like Dirk Benedict's family reunion on there. There's so many Benedicts.
That's right.
There's tons of egg benedicts. There's all the kind of egg whitey things. There's tons of omelets. There's tons of, you know, it's all very eggy and also very focused on like gourmet type looking stuff. And it's always really fantastic. Like I'd never have had a bad fork full of food in my mouth there ever. Mm-hmm. But every time we go, including yesterday, every time we go, the people there are weird. The people that run the place. I don't know what's going on. The other night, for example, or another night, the other day, it was many days ago, we took the kids and Carter ordered something with asparagus on it. And the waitress, here's how the waitress goes. She goes, all right, do you like the whatever omelet? And Carter goes, yes. She goes, all right, what would you like on it? She goes, I'd like the asparagus. And she goes, gross.
The waitress says that?
Yeah, she just goes, gross. Like, just says gross. And then,
editorializing in the...
big time. Big time. So then that's fine. But they were just really like, who cares? I don't really care. Here's your food. Who cares? Like they were just really like, who cares? And then yesterday, same kind of deal. This guy, real fidgety guy, a little bit older than me, short, really skinny, shockingly gray hair and goatee. Nice enough, comes up and goes, well, how are we doing? Zip-a-dip-a-doop-a-da. And he's asking us what we want. We order our stuff. Tell him everything we want. He disappears, never comes back, and it's super long wait. All right. We're waiting forever for our food. That's fine. Having great conversation. It's fine. Whatever. Sure. It's busy.
Keeping the coffee refilled.
Sure. Kim's loving it over there. I'm loving it. We're just talking. We've got this stuff to talk about. It's all fine. We talked about some business stuff. It was good. And then the food comes out with somebody else, and they said, oh, sorry, so-and-so is kind of busy, and they plop it all down. And it's missing my entire egg thing. And Kim's grits with all the mixins in it is not that. It's just plain grits. Mm. And so that's fine, too. You can just kind of say when they come back, oh, by the way, we didn't get our whole thing. You know, we're not hard people. All right.
So far, you're being, you know, much more, you're not being the typical like angry customer. Usually, you know, oh, you forgot half my meal. Even if they're going back to the kitchen to get the rest of it, they're like, hey, you come back here.
Right.
My eggs aren't here.
Right. All they gave me was a plate of like cut up potato cubes and like a couple, like a, I don't know what, like an English muffin. That was it. So I was just kind of
here's your starch.
So the guy comes around finally, our guy, right? And he looks at the table and he goes, all right, looks like we've got... Your eggs are all there, and it looks like your grits with all the fixings all set. All right, you guys let me know if you need anything. Like, he says that.
That's hilarious. Like, he's seeing something that you guys are not seeing.
He's having an illusion. Like, he is seeing things. Like, literally, he's not being sarcastic even. He's just like, oh, so it looks like you got everything you wanted. And he starts to walk away.
Specifically listing off the things that are not there.
And I go, oh, hold on a second. He turns around and says, yeah, I'm missing my my egg white thing. And she didn't get any of the stuff on her doodad over there. And he's like, oh my, okay, oh my. And he starts saying oh my a lot. And then he leaves and he brings back my egg thing. He never brought back Kim's whatcha hoochie thing.
Grits with mixins.
Grits, yeah. But then he brought some special milk steamer thing. They make milk steamers. It's hot chocolatey something or other. I don't know, whatever it is. And he has a whole pot, and he brings it over and sets it down, and she goes to pour it, and it only fills up like a quarter of her cup. And it was just like, and then later, I'm pretty sure later he came by and said, all right, see, like, we've got our milk steamer there. Like, he's pointing out what's there, and it's not there. Like, it was really weird. And so at the end of it all, we just kind of went on or whatever, and he was really shaky. That was the other thing, when he was like writing stuff down, just like really shaking. And so anyway, we got it all done. We ate, and the food's amazing. It's really good. Like, no complaints. Zero complaints from either of us about anything we're seeing here.
Yeah.
But every time we go, it's either lady going, gross, or somebody else doing whatever.
Right. It's like they, whoever they hire, they like put them through a test like, all right, let me get your opinions on several food items. Yeah. And what the first thing that comes to mind, and the asparagus. Gross.
The first thing we hear when we walked in, there was a guy who's, you know, has the menus. When you walk in, you expect, hi, how you doing? It's good to see you. Table for two, you know, that kind of thing. Nope. Yeah. Walk in and here's the first words we hear as soon as the door opens. Two. I'm like, yeah. All right. This is like, it was just weird. It's just really weird. And I guess the disconnect for me is it seems like the wait staff and the kitchen are running on two different levels because the kitchen is killing it, man. And the wait staff is.
Well, at least the kitchen challenged. Is at least producing the good food that they know about, right? So either the wait staff is not giving them all the information, like they. A gray-haired dude just turned over a little sheet of paper that said potatoes, English muffin, and the blandest, plainest grits you can find. Or he turned over the full information and the kitchen said, well, we're going to make this. The food that we do make, we're going to make really good, but we're going to ignore half of it.
Yeah. And then, well, either way, he was seeing things like, oh, your eggs look good. There are no eggs there, dude.
Right.
No eggs. That's the funniest part. There are no eggs there at all. It's one thing for him to look at the grits and say, oh, those grits look good. And he's like, ah, grits with all the fixings. No, that's a plain white pile of grits with nothing on it. Really weird. Anyway, I never said anything. And we tipped him fine. Everything's fine. We are not those people. All right? So we're not the problem.
Well, shouldn't be completely not those people. I mean,
we tell him what we want and that we were missing it or whatever. But I was never going to go, hey, listen, idiot. Where's my beer? Like but we're never going to do that.
Well, of course not. I mean, there's a middle ground where like, yeah, she still never got her stuff for her grits. Could you take care of that?
Yeah. And then,
you know, I mean, there's, you know,
that's true.
You gotta, you know, it's,
I think we finally just gave up on the grits thing.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Sometimes after just trying, you just gotta kind of say, okay, screw it.
It's like one of these times it's going to go back and come back with some DNA or something in it. And I don't want that.
that might be the fear, right?
Well, I worked at
some extra mix-ins.
Yeah. I worked at Chi-Chi's. I know how this goes.
Oh, I know.
And ever since then, it was a real lesson for me in high school. I was like, oh, that's what people do when you send your meat back because it wasn't totally done. Ooh, I'll never do that again. Like it shocked all of the customer complaint right out of me. All right, check this out. I'm happy to report, despite some technical issues that you were experiencing, you're all reloaded. How'd it go? Everything good?
I did, yeah. So started on Friday. Yeah. Did a real quick test with my Time Machine backup because there's this built-in backup system in Mac called Time Machine, and it does, you know, these really cool daily incremental backups, not hourly, but a couple times throughout the day, it'll say, all right, let's see, you get any new files? Great. Back them up to the thing. And I did a quick test. There's like a thing you can type in terminal, which is the command prompt for Mac, and did a quick compare. And it was like, oh, there's a couple files here that it's saying that are changed, but I didn't change them. I'm a little worried. So I made one full backup to a different drive. So I had actually two, like a redundant backup.
Oh, good idea. That's all right. Yeah.
Did that Friday and it finished Saturday morning about the time we were starting FilmSack. Mm. Or I'm sorry, about the time we were finishing FilmSack. So it finished up. I then said, okay, here we go. Clicking the little button, erasing my drive. And there was some issue with because it's got the Fusion drive in this thing, the iMac that I've got has the combo drive that's part SSD, part HD for speed issues.
Sure.
So I actually had to go and do some terminal commands and like erase each half separately and then combine them back into a Fusion drive. And then once I did that, boom, things were flying like crazy. This, you know, this computer basically has never really gotten the full clean treatment. Mm-hmm. I did the transfer from the old machine. Mm-hmm. And so any problems that the old machine had just went right over to this machine. Yep. So I felt like it was due for like a good refresh.
You know what I call that thing? That drive is called the Franken drive in my house.
It is. It totally is. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it finished up its restore. Saturday night, Tina and I went out and saw Jungle Book, which was excellent. Yep. Came back and it was done doing its business. And, but it's still syncing a few things in Dropbox. Like I apparently keep so much stuff in Dropbox that it's got a lot of,
Oh, it took, a lot of stuff took mine forever last time I did a full restore. It took forever. Yeah. I must have more in there than I thought I had.
Yeah. So,
all right, Jungle Book. I got a question about Jungle Book. Did you guys have a bad theater experience, or did we break the chain here?
We had people during the thing.
Oh no!
That right before the movie that says, "You turning your cell phone on during the film is distracting, so make sure you turn it off." During that, the people next to me are looking at texts on their phone with their bright light in my, you know, in the corner of my eye, and I like turn and I look, and it's, you know, it's these millennials looking over at them, and then the people behind me brought some sort of crinkly plastic container that their food was in, and so it was like,
oh man, you can't get away from it.
Can't get away. It was one of the lesser irritating experiences, and maybe I'm just too easily irritable in movie theaters. Maybe I'm looking for things to get irritated about in theaters, but
well, you should experiment a little bit. You should see, like, I don't know, next time, how would you do that? You gotta have a baseline, right? What's the baseline?
Right.
Just sitting there and nobody moves.
What will be the amount that I'll take? Yeah. Fortunately, it was, you know, about 5-10 minutes into the movie, they stopped. People stopped making noise. The people turned off their, or the lights stopped on the cell phones about the time the opening credits rolled. So
nice.
They apparently stopped that.
Right.
Movie overall really good. Yeah. And some great voice acting in there. The last Gary Shandling.
Oh, I didn't know he was in that.
I didn't either. And then you hear this voice. I'm like, oh my God, I swear that's Gary Shandling.
Hmm.
And he's in there. Of course, Bill Murray, Scarlett Johansson.
He's an old Ben pal Kingsley. He's an old Shandling and Favreau were buddies, weren't they?
I believe it. Oh, well, yeah, I guess from Iron Man.
Yeah. Right? I think they knew each other before, and that's how we got him to come out of hiding, basically, and do something in Iron Man. But yeah, that's interesting. I had no idea he was in that. Now I really want to see it.
You really should see it. And great covers of the, you know, there's basically, when you think of Jungle Book and you think of the music, you think of three classic songs.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, new versions of those songs by the actors, but they saved one of them, which kind of disappointed me, till the ending credits. It was Scarlett Johansson's Trust in Me, because she's Ka.
Oh, her giant snake. Snake song. Yeah.
And so it makes it worth it to stay through the final credits to hear it, but I wish they would have left it in the movie proper, because I felt like that was such a, it's such a great song.
Did she say, did the lyrics go, I don't see how this is a party? Is that how it went?
Well, listen, we're an Avengers film and several Iron Man films and a couple of Captain Americas since that moment.
Yeah, that's true. I gotta let it go. I've gotta let it go.
You gotta let that one go.
I might have to.
I don't see how that's a party.
No, good Lord. Still bad, even when I hear it now. All right.
And yes, Free Rangers, it does have Christopher Walken singing. He is King Louie. So
he's the big, big monkey ape.
With that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Scary part, I heard. That part's a little harrowing.
Kind of is. Yeah. It's surprisingly, you know, there's some scenes in there that's like, wow, okay, I don't know if I'd say bring the little kids to this.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, you never know.
But really good. More thing I wanted to kind of
tell me about the music though. This week, because this is rad. I'm excited.
This is a special week this week, so we are taking off half our covers this week.
Oh, wow.
Every episode this week is going to have a cover in the middle of the show, but we're going to end with a brand new independent artist or label, or I'm sorry, independent artist or band. This is really cool, and I'm really excited about this, because I get so many emails from labels that I have to say, well, yeah, those are great songs, but if they're not covers, I don't really have a way to promote them. And I don't want to do a whole new podcast of stuff like that. So this is, you know, this is something we're trying this week. Want to see what you guys think about it. And
We should do them in the middle of the show, because then I don't have to worry about YouTube shutting down.
Oh, that's not
a
bad idea.
Yeah, because the last song I was cut off anyway for the YouTube part, not for the audio.
Oh, we'll swap them.
All right.
So the song I've listed is first song, swip swapping.
Yeah.
Swip or swatch that.
You know, Brian and I are into song swapping. I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
Sometimes I'm with his music. Sometimes he's with my music.
You never know.
Okay, so yeah. So put the
we'll flip them around.
The song I've listed as first song into the last spot.
Okay, awesome. No, that's cool. That
that's a really good
headaches.
Idea in that way.
Yeah, at least this week anyway, or whatever, however long we do them.
Yeah. But I love this, and I think you guys are going to really enjoy checking out some cool new music. But the most important thing is, if you like it, mm-hmm. Obviously in the show notes, Iceworm puts them together. We'll have links to where you can find the bands. By the way, I talked about this on Twitter, coverville.com/TMS. You'll find a list of all the songs we play.
Oh.
And so you can go check that out there.
Lovely. Do that, everyone.
Iceworm does that. And
yeah. He's a good job.
I pay him handsomely for that.
Oh, yeah. He's rolling in it, that guy. So yes, we're gonna do a little Stump Daryl. And as you guys know at home, that involves you. So one of you needs to call in right now. It needs to be from a number that is not blocked, or else it won't let me add it to the call. And I will call. I will answer it at 801-895-4724. We will add you to the call. And we've got a great question today that I am sure Daryl has no idea how to answer. I am 100% sure. Like, just look at that topic, Brian. There's no way.
Know, but it's funny. You're like, you're going to goad the listener, whoever gets through into...
I guess I kind of am. Yeah, I don't want to influence the judges here. I shouldn't do that.
But I will tell you, the prize today, we can tease this too, is a copy of Awesome Knots on Steam.
Oh, Awesome Knots is a great name game.
Yeah, it's a great name and a great game.
It's a great name game. No, that's an excellent game. Awesome. Well, there's our prize for today. All right, so this thing's not letting me add people again. I don't know why, so I'm going to call. This is going to make you go on hold, I'll add you right back.
Put me on hold.
All right, here we go. Hi, listener. Who's this?
Hey, it's Cranky Pants again.
Hey, man. What's going on? How are you?
Very good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm going to add Brian to this call because the way this works is screwy.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Puts me on hold. It's super dumb. Okay, there we go. Let's just erase this one.
I can appreciate his computer problems. I've had to do that in the past.
Yeah, you know how it can be.
Days of nothing.
Huge pain in the butt, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody wants to deal with that stuff. All right, so it looks like he's on his way. There he is. Brian, hi, Brian. Oh, hi. Ooh, you went all crusty, but I'm sure that'll go away.
That's just from the opening answering dealio.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, who's our caller?
Say it again. Say your name again.
Cranky Pants.
Oh, it's Cranky Pants. Cranky Pants.
Cranky Pants.
Yay. Put his name in there so we don't forget to say it when we get around to it.
Hard to forget Cranky Pants. Where are you calling from, Cranky Pants?
Ohio.
Ohio.
You don't want to get any more specific than that. That's fine. We can work with that. Yeah. We can work with Ohio.
I'm going to guess. Cincinnati. No?
No. Newark, Ohio.
Oh, all right.
It's east of Central.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Is Newark, Ohio as lovely as Newark, New Jersey?
It's probably smaller, nicer, but I don't know. There's probably more to do in New Jersey than here.
Well, yeah, Newark, New Jersey is not very attractive. So
I would choose Newark over New Jersey. Yeah,
I would too. Cool.
That's weird. You're still super crusty, but
I am.
Yeah, we'll let it go for now.
Oh, you know why?
Why?
Well, it looks like it just hung up. I was going to say there were two calls going on. Like you created a brand new call when you did this business.
Yeah, but I killed the old one, so it should have. Should have got rid of it.
Still pause me and unpause me, maybe.
All right, I'm going to pause you. This will pause and unpause everybody, so hang in there. Here we go. Hold. And then we go resume. Let's see if it's any better.
All right, give it a shot here.
It's much better already.
Good. Already good. Okay. Yeah,
it's not perfect, but it'll live. It'll survive.
Cranky Pants, let me tell you how this goes. We are going to tell you the category for a question that we're going to be asking Daryl in a moment or two. What we want you to do is tell us whether or not you think Daryl is going to get that question right. If you are correct in your prediction, you win a copy today of Steam Awesome Knots. Well, it's actually just Awesome Knots. It's a much smoother pressed version if you get the Steamed version, but it's on Steam. You'll play it on Steam. It's Awesome Knots, and you could win that today.
It's a great game.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Your category today is the WWF.
Ooh, wrestling, eh?
World Wrestling Federation. Now, you know, Daryl does do a show with a wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Wrestler, he prefers. Wrestler.
Wrestler, yes.
And we're talking WWF, which obviously is before it became the WWE. So this was back in like the 80s. That's the only hint we're going to give you. Do you think he's going to get that right or wrong?
I've never heard of him talk about this before. So I'm going to say, sadly, that I don't think he'll get it right.
I think you're right. I think you're right that he'll get it wrong, and I don't think it's sad at all. I think that is a smart decision on your part, man.
I think so, too.
Although he's pulled stuff out of his butt before, just going through the motions and
that's true.
Figuring out what it can't be. So
his
Not only are you Cranky Pants, you're also Smarty Pants.
That's
let's
right.
Get, yeah, let's get Daryl.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't know it either. So.
Smarty pants from Ohio. All right, let's do this thing.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Daryl Skeels on the phone. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Are you ready to be stumped? Are you feeling it today?
Oh, I guess I am.
I'm having just the Mondays, man. I don't know what to do about it. You know what'll help?
Case of the Mondays.
I know what's going to happen. I have a ton to do today, but between things, I'm going to plan a half an hour nap on the hammock with the dog.
Oh.
That sounds like heaven to me.
It does. Sounds like heaven to me, too. Just a hammock.
Yeah.
Hammock nap.
I'm going to spoon the dog.
All right. I need a hammock.
All right, well, let's...
How can you screw up a hamburger?
Okay, Daryl, let's tell you how you can screw up a hamburger. You can try to answer today's question. On the line with us is Cranky Pants, and he's going to...
Hello.
He's going to help you. Well, maybe. He may hinder you. I don't know.
Well, he's going to help you in one direction or the other. You just don't know what direction he's going to help you in.
That's right. One direction. That's all we know. So, Daryl...
Your category is one direction.
There's been a lot of chatter, by the way, just to get this out of the way, because I'm thinking about it, about potential captains and for the new Star Trek series for the first season. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of talk about, I forgot his name, the guy in season 2 of Fargo. He was also in the Watchmen. He played the owl, Night Owl guy.
Oh, yeah, 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 okay. That guy.
Freaking, I can't think of his name.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I mean.
Begins with an A.
Andrew Allen Trio. I don't know what it is.
Patrick Wilson?
Patrick Wilson.
That's Patrick Wilson. There's no A.
That's it.
There is an A, but it doesn't begin with it.
Patrick Wilson. That's the
Patrick
one.
Wilson. Patrick Wilson.
He is he's apparently either a favorite in the rumor mill, or maybe it's not happening at all, but people like him. So I think that'd be all right. He'd be a cool captain. Anyway, we'll see. We don't know. We don't know nothing. You don't have any inside new information, do you?
No, there's nothing new.
All right. We could use some info on that. I don't know why I'm pining it for it so much, but I really want it. And I don't say pine because, like, Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
All right.
No, but that would be pretty clever if you did.
Yeah, but I'm not
that'd be clever if you did.
I'm not that clever. That was more Bill Clinton than...
kind of was, yeah.
For McConaughey. All right, here's your question, Daryl. In 1997... The Montreal screw job took place in the WWF. All right, wrestling question.
Okay.
The champion at the time, Bret Hart, lost his WWF world title to a controversial screw job finish. Who did he lose his title to? Here are your options. A, Kevin Nash. I love the Kevin Nash at Wendy's. B, Shawn Michaels. C, Scott Hall. Or D, Triple H.
That's what I usually get at Wendy's.
The Triple H?
The Triple H,
have to take that when I got a bad hemorrhoid. I need the Triple H. So Kevin Nash, Shawn Michaels, Scott Hall, Triple H. Them's your options between you and the Cranky Pants here. You got to figure this thing out.
First off, who are all those four people? That's what I don't know.
I think they're all wrestlers.
Let's establish this real quick. Daryl, are you a wrestling fan at all?
Of the really old stuff, yes.
Like what? When you say really old, what do you mean?
Like 80s to 90s. Well, maybe not even to the 90s, but
okay.
80s.
I thought you were going to be like, oh, the old black and white fisticuffs of the 50s or something. Like old
Greco-Roman race,
rubber
Greco-Roman wrestling.
Yeah, rubber knees, McGillicuddy from 1953.
They all wore onesies.
Yeah, they're called singlets.
Yes,
and
right.
I've said this on Twitter, and I'd like to make it clear once again, just for the record, I will never ever wear a singlet, ever, ever.
I think on behalf of everybody, thank you.
Oh, thanks. All right, good. People agree with my decision. I find that to be pretty universal. I've yet to have anyone say that it's a problem.
So that would be like something Fred Flintstone would wear.
Yeah, that's kind of a singlet, except it doesn't wrap around his junk the way those do.
Yeah.
He's got more of a skirt.
Yeah, okay.
Like a leopard skirt.
Barney, hold on. I'll be right with you. We can go to the Elks Lodge as soon as I put on my onesie.
Hey, Fred. It's a little
notice
tighter.
How it cups my unit.
Some of the lost episodes.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
Right. The Loyal Order of Water Buffaloes and our cupped units.
You know, I know that we're in a bit of a renaissance period as far as animation goes. Like, there's a lot of televised animation They brought the My Little Pony stuff back. Like, there's a lot of retro stuff coming back. We got new Voltron series coming. It is beyond me why there is not a modern take on Fred Flintstone. Like, there's not a new version.
A modern Stone Age family?
Or just like a Cartoon Network revival, you know?
Yeah.
And like Seth MacFarlane producing or something, or, you know, I'm probably shocked.
Because of those people who thought about doing that also watched the revival of Scooby-Doo and said, oh, yeah, that's why we don't do this.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
The new Warner Brothers junk, which is terrible.
It is terrible, but it's not that it can't be done right, though. It can be.
It can be. They just don't do it.
What's a good example of this? Transformers Prime's really good. Mm-hmm.
Science fiction works well, but classic... Yeah.
Like classic comedy type stuff.
Comedy animation, I think, is much, much harder
to do. It's a little more lost in it. It's like time in a bottle or whatever.
Right. Because with the sci-fi stuff, you know, it's the nostalgia of it more than it's the story and the acting and stuff like that. But with those, or with the
like Rocky and Bullwinkle would be hard.
It would be hard to pull those off.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. What are you going to do? All right, sorry, wrestling. We're back to wrestling. Kevin Nash. Oh, yeah, to answer your question, Cranky Pants, they're all pro wrestlers. Kevin Nash, Shawn Michaels, Scott Hall, Triple H.
I've only heard of the second one.
Shawn Michaels. You never heard of Kevin Nash or Triple H?
No,
I've heard of Nash.
Even I have. And I don't like wrestling at all. Well, I don't know. It's not that I dislike it. I just don't follow it that much.
I haven't followed it at all since the 80s.
So yours would have been like the Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, all that stuff. You like that?
Mm-hmm. Right? Junkyard Dog and that dead guy. Yeah, everybody had their stupid story.
That dead guy. I think you mean the Undertaker. Yeah, that dead guy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that stuff because it was more themey then. It's not as themey now. Now it's just like, oh, he's really tough or he's really goofy or whatever. But back in the day, it was like, he's the undead Undertaker man.
That's right. You know, this guy is based on a clown, and this guy is based on a wrestling chef.
Yep.
None of those are actual examples.
I would watch The Wrestling Chef. That would be great. There's nothing wrong with that idea. Anyway, all right. So what do you think? Cranky Panks should give him a direction, and let's see if he...
Oh, man, any direction. I could give him a direction in the wrong direction, so...
Yeah.
I don't know if Triple H. I've heard of Kevin Nash and Triple H before.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him. Yeah. But this way, Daryl, I can't help or hurt you.
Yeah. He doesn't know any more than you do, Daryl.
What was the year?
1997. Yeah.
Since I've heard of B, that he must have been around earlier than that.
Oh, because you were following it before that, yeah.
So I guess that would have to be my choice.
Shawn Michaels, B.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's find out if you're right and whether or not that answer gets this.
That's probably wrong.
Listener, where to go? Here we go. Let's find out. Is it right?
Congratulations!
It's right.
Oh. You're a winner.
But you know what that means? It means. Hold on. Hold on. It means you...
So you get nothing. You lose.
You lose because he said you'd get it wrong. Sorry about that. Don't worry about it, dude. You always have another chance. Try again tomorrow. See you later. Bye.
Right. That is the safe guess, though.
Daryl, we want to play this. I decided to save this to the end, but we're going to play a mashup. Because why?
Well, are we going to listen to the audio of the Montreal Screwjob, too?
Yeah, I am going to do that.
Hold on
here.
Bret Hart gave up with a sharpshooter.
You saw Bret Hart go to town. He destroyed the set. He was spitting in the air. He was writing WCW, and you knew something big was going on.
Well, no, because he faked it all. That's what you do in wrestling is you just fake it. I can't do wrestling documentaries I don't know. They have to be behind the scenes.
On the other
scenes.
Side of the curtain, right, where it's like, yeah, here's how we faked this.
Yeah.
And here's,
it's not like you can go, and then Bret Hart did this thing where he bled all over the... Like, no, come on, guys. They're just... you can't do it in character. You can't do your documentary also in character. Stop it. Anyway, so Daryl, good job. You got it right, but he just thought you'd get it wrong. Now here's the mashup, because I always forget to play these, so I'm going to play it now. Here you go. these aren't hurtful comments, are they? No. When they say Maggie D. Gyllenhaal looks like her brother?
Right.
Okay, maybe.
Or that Julia Roberts has a horse face? No, yeah, those aren't mean comments at all.
These are totally fine. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Daryl, next time I see you, you can tell me to F off and go up the river. Plus, I drop more shits per second than in, well, that sounds wrong.
That is millennials saying, look at this cool retro device that my parents have. And
yeah.
and that's me not imitating your daughter.
Right. Yeah. I still have that big one. I'm still working on it.
All right.
Iceworm?
Iceworm, you wanna pull that one out?
Thank you, Satan.
Oh, thank you, Satan, for the chocolate.
Thank you, Iceworm.
That's right.
Shit buckets!
What? I don't know where that came. Oh, that was from a game I was playing.
Oh.
I was playing some scary game, and he pulled it out of that.
Nice.
All right, Daryl, always a good time. Daryl is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there and at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast that he does with a wrestler. One Joey, mm-hmm. Joey Image, in fact. Now you'll play Google, what do we call it? Google Fart?
Googleus Maximus.
Googleus Maximus with Daryl. I still have a theme for it, though. We need that. How about this?
Nothing lasts forever.
All right,
I thought you had the Danny Trejo.
Oh, I do. Google it. Yeah, hold on. I do have it. I just forgot to pull it out.
Hold on. I swear.
Here it is.
I know. I Googled it.
There you go.
I have a short movie story, though.
Oh, go for it.
I went to see The Jungle Book also.
Oh, what'd you think? What'd you think of that?
Oh, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge critic of computer animated stuff.
Yeah, and you thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, they did great.
It feels like we're at a place where it's perfect for that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, finally, the technology has caught up to the storytelling to the point that it's not distracting or weird looking, or, you know, it right. totally can work. And that's awesome. That's when you start being able to tell stories you used to not be able to tell.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty happy about where we're at with that.
Yeah.
By the way, today, I almost forgot, just because we're talking about 3D animation, just people be on the lookout, playoverwatch.com. The
new thing, yeah, right?
The Hanzo new... Genji thing, the dragon right. story is coming out today. And I'm super excited about it.
Cool.
Anyway, so go ahead, Daryl there.
There was a guy sitting next to me with his phone, and he put it in the cup holder, and it was not ringing, but it was on vibrate.
Buzzing.
And every 5 minutes, my entire seat would go.
You could just pretend you got one of those D-Box seats or something. You know, do you guys have D-Box?
No, but we sense around, basically. Yeah.
What do you guys have? Oh, we have a
that's
D-Box.
So irritating.
Yeah, and they go when you're in them. You
oh,
just pretend.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Still a thing. We have those at our theater. I don't like them. They bug me. But that's how you get around it. You just got to pretend.
Take your drink and accidentally put in that cup. Oh, darn it. I spilled my drink all over your phone because it was in the cup holder where my cup should go.
Yep. I'm telling you, this is going to be the demise of movie theaters. It's not about movies being easy to get at home. It's about people being horrible to sit next to in real life.
Yes.
Daryl, give us the Google. What do you got there?
Okay. Let's do... What? Huh? Oh, these are two separate ones.
Mm.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay, Siri wants to blank. And let's go with number two.
Okay. So the number two guess, or the number two result from Siri wants to...
Siri wants to talk to Cortana.
Okay.
It's my guess.
I don't know. Siri wants to get it right. yeah, I'm going to say get it right. I don't know. I don't have any way of knowing this, so I have no idea. But that's mine. So get it right. Yours is what, Brian? I forgot already.
Siri wants to talk to Cortana.
Talk to Cortana. All right.
Okay. The number one answer is fight, and the number two answer is kill me.
Oh.
Siri wants to kill me.
My number one is, so I'm looking at it now, hold on. My number one is Siri wants to kill me, and number two is Siri wants to fight.
Oh, it must have changed over the weekend.
That's weird. Well, I think it's just different for everybody. Everybody's got a slightly different thing.
Fight and kill me are in that order, number one, number two for me.
And I've got Siri wants to marry me as number five.
Mm-hmm.
Siri wants to die and Siri wants to kill you. What is with the negativity about all the Siri?
Oh.
That's really weird.
My fifth one is Siri wants the D.
Wants the D?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Look at how many results there are for Siri wants to kill me. I don't know. The internet is weird. I need
that's
to.
That's because she keeps, you know, sends you into bad neighborhoods on your trips and into cul-de-sacs that you can't get out of.
That seems terrible. All right, yep. Daryl, stay out of trouble. Kiss our butts. We'll talk to you later. All right. Brian, how about a little news? How about that?
Sure. Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
The news brought to you by...
the crosswalk guy that Scott's dog doesn't trust.
Okay, so I got to tell you this real fast. Little crosswalk man. He's probably an older guy. He's probably, I don't know, 60s, mid-60s. He's an old guy that does crosswalk for the kids in the morning. And he wears like the bright orange, you know, yellow jacket and all that. And I walk past him while he's doing his thing every morning with the dog. I walk the dog in a big, long walk all the way around the school and all the way back. And she loves everyone. She will run up to anybody, any age, any sex, any clothes. It doesn't matter. She loves everyone. Wants to play, wants to come up and lick them, wants to be part of their lives. With the single exception of Crosswalk Man. And I cannot figure out why. Now, at first, we thought, oh, because now we're kind of in on this. Like, every day, I see him see her, and he gets situated to see how if he can lure the dog over.
Right.
And I'm part of it, too. I'm like, all right, let's try this again.
Let's see if this works. Yeah.
And I don't even know the guy. We just have this unspoken bond, right? So when I walked by him the first time this happened, he just stood there, and she barked and would pull away and would not go near him. So I'm like, all right, we'll try again tomorrow. Next day, he decides to scrouch down way low and be really, you know, submissive and see if that helped. No go, nothing. Today, crouched down and took off his bright yellow jacket, thinking maybe it's the bright yellow jacket that's
he's committing to this.
He is totally committing to it. Same thing. Barking won't go near him. So for the life of us, me and this stranger have spoken few words.
Tomorrow he's going to cover his body with peanut butter and see if that works.
And I said to him as I walked away, I said, well, guess we'll try again tomorrow. He's like, all right, see you then.
Does he have a big handheld stop sign?
No, he's got, I think he's got a flag or something, but he's never holding it when we walk by.
Okay.
So it's always, because there's never been, whenever I've walked past him, there's no kids yet. It's a little bit early. So... maybe now. So
you're gonna find out some weird story about this guy.
Well, that's how my brain wants to go all sinister. Like he's got bodies under his cabin or something.
The Raider just knows.
She feels it because she's got instincts for it. So I don't know. It's really weird. And the other chat room's like, well, maybe he has a dog and the dog smells it. She's never. Lots of people have dogs. She never. That doesn't seem to affect her. She just wants to know more about who you are when you have a dog. Because she loves other dogs. She doesn't bark at other dogs. She just wants to play with the biggest, meanest dog. She doesn't care. She just wants to play. She just wants to live. She's a happy dog. So I don't know what's going on with Crosswalk Man. All right. Let's get into this here. You ever been bitten by a shark? That ever happened to you?
I don't think so. I'm trying to remember. I mean, there was some hazy times when I was a toddler. But to my knowledge, I've never been bitten by a shark.
I haven't either. I've been bitten by a carp. Fish. I've been bitten by.
You got bitten by a carp?
I got bitten by a carp in Lake Powell once while I was water skiing. And while I was waiting for the boat to come back around and pull me up again, I got bit on the ankle by a carp.
And
left a big old bloody hole there. Yeah, it was bad. I mean, it wasn't quite Piranha 3D or anything.
No, it's a carp. It's
it's kind of a puss. Mung, mung, mung. Yeah, it's a garbage. It's
like practically gum you.
It was a garbage fish.
Tiny teeth, but.
Yeah. I mean, they're garbage fish, and maybe he thought I was garbage, but I remember it hurting. It hurt pretty bad, actually. I was like 9 or 10. Anyway, this lady, there's this woman here in Boca Raton, Florida.
Ah, Florida woman.
Yep, where she caught a fish in a most unconventional way. A shark bit her on her right forearm and ended up accompanying her all the way to the hospital, still attached to her arm. So they couldn't shake it free, and it didn't want to let go. The shark in question was a small nurse shark. That's admiring you there. That is said to have been out about 2 feet long. The 23-year-old woman shocked the staff at the hospital when she showed up on Sunday afternoon with a shark attached to her arm. According to the ocean rescue captain, Clint Tracy. Oh, my gosh. 1940s.
Clint Tracy.
Clint Tracy on the case.
Ocean rescue captain Clint Tracy.
That's amazing. He says it was quite a unique situation. Both the woman and the shark attached to her were transported to the hospital via an ambulance about 1:30 p.m. She is fine. The shark died. So, let's take that shark. Maybe you want to let go. Maybe next time, let go. How about that?
Yeah. Lower your pride a little bit, shark, and just say, okay, all right, I'm done. I'll.
Exactly right. New York City man is offering free hugs to everyone who walks by. It's a big sign that says free hugs, and he punched a woman for not tipping him.
Whoops.
Thanks, B. Scott X in the Slack for submitting this. And by the way, the first, that other article was as well by not only people in Slack, but a ton of tweets and stuff. So thanks everybody for doing that as well. So here's this. A man known for harassing tourists with offers of free hugs. By the way, gross. I'm not hugging some stranger.
Yeah, right.
Especially if they're free. Get what you pay for, man.
Exactly. There's a reason you're having to offer free hugs, dude.
He was in Times Square. He punched a lady after she declined to give him a tip. Violine Davios, age 22 of Canada, was taking pictures in New York City's tourist mecca with a friend, 24-year-old Jermaine Himmelstein. Oh, he's it. Jumped into one of her shots, bearing his trademark cardboard sign. They humored him with a hug and then started to leave, but Himmelstein wasn't satisfied. He put his arm around one of the women and pulled out his wallet. What? One of the women and pulled out his wallet, demanding a tip, according to a witness. When they refused and walked away, Himmelstein chased them down the street and punched her in the eye.
Jeez.
What an ass. That's not going to be free for you, for him.
No, I mean, you know, free, but tips are definitely expected when you have the free hug sign.
Like the people that do your windshield without being asked, I hate that stuff.
Oh, sure.
I didn't ask you to do anything, nor this is not a fair exchange.
And nor am I obligated to reimburse you for your for your involuntary or your voluntary generosity that I neither requested nor needed.
Even if you're Tyrese Gibson and you're rubbing lighter fluid on my window, I'm still not giving you a tip.
Even then.
Hydraulic press, you know, it's been all the rage, this hydraulic press YouTube channel.
Yeah, right. I saw a giant gummy bear getting squished in that. It was pretty entertaining.
They're super into this, and just when you thought nobody was going to be able to figure out a way to make a new YouTube channel go from zero to skyrocket, somebody figures it out.
This feels like if David Letterman was still around, this would just be on his show.
Yeah.
Like he would just say, you know, all right, today we're going to be smashing a blank in a hydraulic press.
Paul, what do you think? You hear about this? Oh, that's a different guy. Anyway, so they put a diamond under here, and apparently that YouTube channel is doing well enough to afford a $4,000 diamond.
Jeez.
It's a gemstone. It did not survive the squeeze after being placed underneath hydraulic press. Lari Voloshnida, the Finnish factory owner behind the hydraulic press channel on YouTube, tested his device on a 1.2-carat jewel. And in the video posted online Saturday, it's clear that his machinery came out on top. If you watch it, it's actually pretty rad. There's a GIF of the slow-motion thing popping. But on that page, Brian, scroll to the bottom of the article and watch what happens to that weird looking tiger unit. Do you see that?
A tiger unit.
Yeah, it's like a tiger toy or something, like a squishy tiger toy.
Oh, there it is right there. Okay.
Look at that.
All right. I'm waiting for it to start playing, or do I have to click it?
I don't know. It's a GIF.
Yeah, didn't that automatically? There we go.
You see that?
They leave his head out. It's like Play-Doh, looks like.
It's so weird.
It is totally Play-Doh.
Well, I don't think it is, though.
Well, yeah, you're like right, because it's...
It's like one of those vinyl things, but it's enough pressure to just destroy it.
It's like a weird little waterfall. Yeah. You've turned the tiger into a brand new animal.
Here, chat. Sorry. I meant to put this up for you. You can have the link and look at it at your own leisure.
Here, I'll actually just put the...
You can put the GIF in there, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd
be
good.
What am I looking for here?
I don't know. Internet. Right click, mouse click, jeez. Poke, pick, bonk. All right. What else? Yeah, this is like the new Will It Blend of the internet, except it's Will It Hydraulic Press or Not.
Right.
And it's pretty rad to watch.
Kind of fun.
Yeah, huh. I like it.
That seems so wasteful, though, doing it to a ring. I mean, I don't care if you've got more money than God.
Well, it's just the diamond, so it's not technically the whole ring, but...
Well, I'm sorry, I saw the picture of the ring, but yeah, to do that to a diamond, it seems...
Yeah, but if you're willing to spend the $4,000...
I guess so.
I guess it's yours to do it with whatever. I don't know. I'm a kind of an anti-jewelry guy anyway. Like, I think it's all just a big...
you gotta be really anti-jewelry to do this.
It's just a racket. Like, if you think about it, they're just rocks, man. Yeah. I know they're rare, I get it, but...
It's the Bitcoin argument.
Because
something is rare and
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's still irritating though. I never liked like fancy rings and I don't know, I'm just not into it.
It was donated to the channel. Okay. All right.
Someone donated it? A little bit.
Yeah, apparently so.
Even then. Isn't a cubic zirconia actually as strong? I thought the whole point was they're just like diamonds, but they're artificially created.
No, I think that's the thing, is that you can shatter a cubic zirconia.
Oh.
But you can't do that with a diamond. You can like scratch glass with a diamond, but you can't with cubic zirconia.
All right.
Well, oh, look at that. Captain Kipper found David Letterman, video of David Letterman putting stuff in a hydraulic press.
Oh, he used to do the press? Oh, yeah. Look at this. Oh, yeah, totally.
Drink the milk. Okay, what's next? Well, it's a plate of jelly donuts. It's cute. It's silly, but... What the heck? We can do pretty much anything we want.
Okay, I kind of now remember this now.
Yeah.
Also, Dave's wearing mom jeans. That's great.
I think so. Yeah, there's another video of snakes. Oh, that's so cool. E. David Ciesling shows the hydraulic press doing a bunch of what definitely looks like Play-Doh snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And it does a similar thing to the tiger, oh, yeah. But it's, look at that. I don't know, it kind of goes gay pride.
Oh, man.
Just that it goes straight up.
Yeah. Whoop. It's so weird to me. Physics, man. Time to press.
Batman crushing snakes.
Yeah. Don't press Larry Bud Melman, someone in the chat room suggests. Suggests. Can't even talk. All right. Check this out. Here's our final story. Mm-hmm. A man has received his first penis transplant in the United States.
Now,
His first one. Hopefully it's his last. And I want you to think about what this means just for a second. A man whose penis was removed because of cancer, which is terrible, and I'm glad he's got some recourse here.
Right.
Has received the first penis transplant in the United States at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. Really, it's in Boston. Thanks for letting us know that. Thomas Manning, age 64, a bank courier from Halifax, Massachusetts, who underwent a 15-hour transplant on May 8th and 9th, the organ came from a deceased donor. I want to go back to being who I was, Mr. Manning said on Friday. I have news for Mr. Manning. That's another guy's unit. This would be really hard for me. I don't know why. Yeah. It's something weird about knowing that your Pedro
came from somebody else.
Yeah. Somebody else's trunk. I think that's weird. But you know what?
But I touch another man's wiener every day.
See, and it's not even just that it's the wiener. For me, it's any body part externally. Like, I don't know why it doesn't bug me to think it could be someone else's kidney or someone else's heart. Sure. Like, those don't bother me. But knowing it's their finger or their arm or their unit or their toe, that's weird to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I've got a mental thing. I got a mental block with that. Anyway,
I could see that.
They say it's uncharted waters, and this is the first time they've ever done it. Whether it will be long-term successful or whether the body will reject the penis. Mm. The penis is evil.
Funny. I would have guessed this would have happened way earlier than now. I mean, this being the first one. I know we've had the reattachments like John Wayne Bobbitt and stuff like that. But
yeah, you'd think there would have been more by now.
I would have thought there would have been at least one now. We think about 2016, first penis transplant.
Well, here's what we should know.
The penis is evil.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Thanks to...
Well, hopefully his is not.
No. Well, see, that's the other thing. What if it's a criminal penis?
Right. Like, what was the movie we need to watch for Film Sack? But I can't remember what that movie is with the guy who gets the arm from a serial killer and he wants to start...
Right.
Like the mind of its own.
What was that called? And he starts killing people with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot what that's called. Then there's
Hands of Orlax's genie.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yep. There's the other one where the lady's got her vagina's got teeth or whatever. Did you hear about that?
Dentata, right?
Yeah, it's called something like teeth or sharp teeth or something. Anyway, yeah. I don't. You know, look, that's all gross. I don't want to watch any of it.
Franken penis. Oh, well, that was the one with John Wayne Bobbitt.
Oh.
Oh, that was directed by Ron Jeremy. Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Directed. Can we put that in quotes? Directed by
directed,
John.
Directed, yeah. Yes. And also stars Nina Cherry, but not that Nina Cherry.
Oh. I don't know who any of these people are. I really don't.
Oh, but does star Ice-T.
What?
And it is that Ice-T.
Hold on. That John Wayne Bobbitt movie?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Ice-T is in that?
Ice-T is in that.
Why? He wasn't doing that bad. It's Ice-T. He didn't need to do that. He could do other things.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
he's listed in the IMDb credits for it.
He's a very versatile actor. Let's put it that way.
He is.
Well, hello there, everybody. Take a moment with me and talk. Okay, sit down. Gather around my feet as I tell you a story about a wonderful sponsor by the name of Harry's. I love Harry's. They make high-quality, high-performance German blades, you know, for shaving. I shave my neck every couple of days, and I use my Harry's razor to do it. Crafted by shaving experts, they feel really, really good. It's the best shave I've ever had. Because I get Harry's stuff factory direct, blades are about half the price of the leading brands. So quick going to the store and digging through those locked things and paying way too much for your blades. Could not be easier. A million have made the switch to Harry's. Very easy website to use. Great customer service. I love it. The cream smells great. Everything about their stuff is slick. Oh, I love it. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half the price at harrys.com? I would like to save you some additional money. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase, off your first order at harrys.com. If you use the code MORNINGSTREAM, all one word, MORNINGSTREAM at checkout. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. That's harrys.com, the code MORNINGSTREAM, and $5 off. Okay, you can go back to listening to the show now. When we come back, it's time with Major Spoilers and Steven Schleicher. A few things going on there, and then also V for video games. I think it's our last time we get her before she's off for a couple of weeks. She's going to be doing some traveling for worky stuff, so I'm excited to have her today. We'll do all that in a minute, but before that, Brian's got a song from a brand new band.
That's right. This is a new artist named Luca Soul. He's actually, his real name is Sean Day. He's by way of Wyoming, London, and now Los Angeles. He's been recording with Courtney Ballard of Madden Brothers and Jared Polythrus of Vendetta at Crossroads of the World. His first single, Physical, was released last year in October. And this year he's released a song called Unknown featuring Natalie M in March. And the third single was just released last week. This is really cool. It's called Suddenly. It's Luca Soul. Make sure to go check him out on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/ I am Luca Soul. IAMLUKASOL. Here is Luca Soul and Suddenly.
All I fatties. I want it all. No hamsters.
I steal watches.
No dopers, no smokers, no alcoholics.
We don't like to write checks.
No Donna Juanitas.
We don't like to take out the garbage.
No posers.
What I'm doing right now is making a movie about World War II.
No crazies.
Santa Monica and my front porch swing.
I'm currently involved in cleaning up toxic waste.
Oh.
Their milkshakes bring all the boys to the yard. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. That was awesome.
Good. Glad you liked it. Yeah,
yeah, I liked that a lot.
Chat room response was great, too. So
I'm going to have to go get some of that. That sounds real good. I love this idea. Playing some new bandies here.
And you know what? And it keeps YouTube off our backs, and we still get requests, and still we'll honor. You know, we'll still play a cover at the end of the show for some lucky listener.
Some lucky listener will still get their request in.
That's right.
All right. Shit. What are we doing? Oh, I know. What's his name? Steven. I know what's going on. I've got this under control. Don't worry about me, everybody.
I was worried. I'm not worried.
I'm not worried. You worried?
Not at all.
Boring conversation anyway, or however that goes. How's that line go in Star Wars? I think how it goes.
Boring conversation anyway. That's exactly right.
That's the one. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. One Steven Schleicher from the Dusty Plains of Kansas. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
Hey, it's going.
Yeah? Just going? Monday. That's it? Just
like
going?
Like you said earlier, it's Monday.
Yeah, Monday sucks.
Low energy today.
Freaking Monday. How come it's so stupid? What is the psychological hang-up we have with this dumb day? You know? Why can't it just be a good day? Why can't we just wake up and go, yeah? Actually, Brian does better than this than I do.
It's just the fact that it comes after a weekend. You could call the day whatever you want. You could put it wherever you want. But because it comes after a weekend, it's the first thing after fun. It's...
I'm going to call it, I'm calling it Dumb Day. It's Dumb Day, D-U-M Day. Oh. Welcome to Dumb Day, Steven. It's also kind of a dumb day because before we get too far, I'm super sad about this. Darwin Cook passed away, and I'm only, probably the reason I'm a giant fan of his work and the Final Frontier hardbound edition that I picked up. Is it New Frontier? Not Final Frontier.
New Frontier.
Why does it say Final Frontier on here?
Yeah.
Well, it probably has a tribute.
I don't know, but I think you put it in your email. It was late.
Yeah.
Steven introduced me to that book, and it not only infected me and sort of inspired me in a huge way, but my daughter thinks it's the greatest comic she ever put her hands on.
It very may well be. I mean, it is Darwin Cook's, you know, love letter to the Silver Age, and it is just packed with nods to the original source materials and everything. I would suggest if people want to check this out, and I think with you, Scott, I said buy it, and if you don't like it, I will buy it back from you or whatever the deal was on that. I would suggest getting the Absolute Edition because in the back, Cook annotated where all the references are on which page and which panels and everything, and it is fantastic to take a look at and see the love that he poured into that book. There is an animated adaptation of that series that you can get from Warner Home Video, and it is also very good. It's not as great as the book, but it's also right up there and tries to follow his style in that animated.
The book is something special. It's really, really special, and if you haven't read it, you should try to pick it up or find it or something.
If you like something a little harder, he did a series of graphic novel adaptations of the Parker crime novels from the 1950s, which are also very good.
Yeah. And he passed away from cancer. Do we know?
Very, very quickly. On Friday, his family posted on his blog's page, basically saying, hey, he's getting palliative care for a bout of aggressive cancer. And when my wife came home and I showed it to her, she's like, oh, crap, that's like end of life comfort care stuff.
Wow.
And sure enough, Saturday morning, they had announced that he had passed away over the night.
Man, what a rip.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just looking at some of his other work. He was really, really, really talented. Quite a legend, and that sucks for the comic world.
Yeah, not too long ago, a couple of months ago, DC had a variant month where they had Darwin Cook covers were all the variants, and it was like one of the few months where I went out and bought every DC variant that they had that month because the stuff is so great and so cool.
Yeah. Anyway, he'll be missed. Darwin
Cook will be missed.
Cool name anyway. Just even on its own, even if he never was a comic artist, the name Darwin Cook is just badass.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when you come on here, we talk about pop culture, comics, movies, TV, whatever. And speaking of TV and comics, Supergirl. She's a girl, and she's super.
Yeah, she is.
She's moving to the CW, where she probably belonged in the first place in terms of what they're willing to not cancel. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, well, and it's the sister show, in at least in family, to Arrow and Flash and Legends of Tomorrow.
Sure, right. Yeah, and they had a crossover already with Flash, and like, there's lots of reasons to think that it should thrive over there now. Do you think it will?
I think it will do very well. Now, the big question is going to be, how is the budget going to impact this? The main reason CBS didn't want to bring Supergirl back for a second season was because they were spending about $3 million per episode. And after everything kind of leveled out, the show was only getting about 7 million viewers each week. So they were like, hey, if we're going to keep this show around, it's going to have a dramatic budget cut. Well, now that CBS has really given up all rights to Supergirl so it can be on the CW, more than likely, they will move the show to Vancouver, which will be a huge money savings. I mean, up in Vancouver, I guess starting in October, there's a 28% tax income credit that you get for every show that's producing up there.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other thing is, because of the guild agreements between the networks, just because your show's on the CW, your budget is automatically reduced. You don't have to pay as much to actors and extras and other people.
Hmm.
So it's going to see a budget hit. Now, whether that's going to impact the quality of the show, that is yet to be seen, but the effects house that does the effects for Flash and DC's Legends of Tomorrow also works on Supergirl. So maybe the fact that it's going to all be up in Vancouver, everybody's working with one another all the time, maybe that might speed up some of the effects and keep the quality high.
Well, and plus the CW, just they've shown a tendency to support these things and you know,
if you think about it, I mean, Warner Brothers really is taking big advantage of their comic book properties and bringing them to a network that they co-own with CBS.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Supergirl. We don't know what days anything are coming out yet. The upfronts are going on this week. We won't know the final schedule until maybe later this summer, but we know Supergirl is coming to the CW. Flash, iZombie, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow are all sticking around. And then also coming next fall is Riverdale.
Mm. Oh yeah, the Archie deal.
Yeah, that was picked up for a full series by the CW, and then some other comic book properties shopping around is Lock and Key from IDW Publishing.
Oh.
They have decided that they're going to just produce it themselves and then see who's interested in picking it up. For those of you that remember Lock and Key, it's a great series from Joe Hill, which is Stephen King's son.
Yeah,
and Fox had ordered a pilot a couple of years ago and then dumped on it. So CW might be another place that we might see Lock and Key pop up on.
I feel like Lock and Key belongs on FX or AMC.
Actually, I think if they do it right, it's probably going to be a Netflix series.
Oh, then that's good too. I'd go for that. Because it's pretty edgy, man.
It is intense and it's got a lot of violence in it.
Yeah, so. Really violent, but so good. Oh my gosh, that's such a great series. That's another one you turned me on
to. Yeah, it is. It's really good.
Steven's like my pimp, man. Or not my pimp, you're my dealer.
I'm your dealer.
Yeah, yeah. My pimp is, who would be my pimp? I don't know. Who puts me, I don't know.
No one is stepping up to take ownership of
Dave Michael. Yeah. Dave Michael.
No hands. Nobody wants. Oh yeah, Dave Michael. He's my pimp.
There you go. He's your pimp.
I give him that. All right. Then there were some cancellations, and these were kind of a bummer. Like the one that has got my wife the most bummed out is the Castle. She's real sad about Castle getting the kick. But Agent Carter in our world is a kind of a big deal to see that go.
Yeah, that one got two good seasons. Maybe the second season may not have been as good as the first, but ABC has decided not to renew that. They're also not going to go forward with the Mockingbird series, Marvel's Most Wanted series.
Yeah, I'm bummed about that one because that seemed like it was going to be, you know, kind of take a different direction than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I feel like they can only go so far and kind of keep this whole, you know, the whole thing is shrouded in S.H.I.E.L.D. basically, and actually having this outlier group that seems like they could have gone further with it. I think ABC just doesn't know how to do superheroes.
I don't think they do on the small screen, and unfortunately, because Agent Carter did shoot in Los Angeles as well as Supergirl, I think the production quality of that show was not as great as it could have been because everything looked like a weird soap opera telenovela type lighting throughout the whole thing, and it was just kind of weak throughout the entire process.
Well, okay, so I saw there's a giant petition going to get it on Netflix, which mm-hmm. is not that weird of an idea, considering there are many other Netflix Marvel deals mm-hmm. on there. While this tonally is quite different from those, I think that could work. That'd be all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Asian, that could be a nice darker series. Mm-hmm. Same with Marvel's Most Wanted. Both of them would be great to do on Netflix.
Sure.
It might. The only problem is if they're going to cancel it, since Carter, ABC, and Marvel are all owned by the same company, they probably would have announced, hey, we're not going to have it back on ABC, but it is going to Netflix, which is the odd part. So I don't think that that's going to happen. Plus, Haley Atwell, who plays Peggy Carter, got a new series that's coming to ABC in the fall.
Oh, well, then that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. And then a little bit of conspiracy theory in me. Do you guys know this kind of internal struggle between Marvel Television and Marvel Movies?
No. What's going on there?
Isaac Perlmutter is the owner of Marvel.
Hold on. Perlmutter?
That's his name, yeah.
I've never heard that name before. My whole life just got better. That's amazing.
We've got a senator or a congressman here in Colorado named Ed Perlmutter.
Perlmutter.
Yeah.
Perlmutter. Oh, that's so great. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
So this guy is like super reclusive. I mean, there's like only one picture of him that's out there on the internet if you look for it.
Yeah.
But he sits on the Disney board and everything, and he and Kevin Feige kind of started butting heads with one another.
Oh.
Over what characters are allowed to appear in television and in the movies, and there was some backlash stuff going on. This is one of the reasons why people are thinking that the Inhumans movie has been pushed into the back burner as of late, because all the Inhuman stuff was happening on television, not in the movies. And so there's this battle back and forth. And Kevin had kind of basically taken control of the Marvel studios, leaving the comic books and television properties over on Ike's plate to take care of. And I'm wondering if part of the canceling Agent Carter doesn't also have to do with something for the fact that, spoiler alert, Peggy Carter dies in the Civil War movie.
Yeah. By the way, not overtly. She's just old and dies, and they get a letter saying she dies.
It's not like Winter Soldier busts into her hospital.
Yeah, it's not like that. They go to a funeral. It's just real
shield
simple.
Of the face.
Yeah.
Not the face.
Yeah, Steve feels real bad about it. By the way, I would prefer to think that the fight between Feige and Perlmutter is more about who has the more annoying, stupid name.
Maybe.
Good Lord. I don't know. Conspiracies aside, I liked this as a, you can say what you want about how well it was handled, or that it could have been better, or whatever, but it was a nice, different thing. You know, it was a set in a time that is not on TV a lot, I don't know. I appreciated the period pieceness of it and all that. And when it comes to
superhero, and this is definitely falls into the superhero genre, you don't have that much stuff that's led by a strong female character like the Peggy Carter character is.
Yeah.
And so having that not out there, I think kind of sets some things back a little ways.
What's her other show? Do we know what that is?
I don't remember what the name of it is. I don't have it, but it was announced at the same time that it was canceled that she'd already gotten another gig for the fall.
Well, her star's on the rise.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You expect great things from Peggy Carter, a.k.a. that lady.
Haley
Atwell. I always forget her name.
Haley Atwell.
I always get her confused. That name, I get confused with the girl. It's another Haley, I think, who was in True Grit. She played the young, what's her name?
Oh, she's another Haley. She's
Haley Von Stinkelparts. I don't remember.
Was that her name?
No.
Wow.
It's like Haley
Steinfeld.
Steinfeld. Steinfeld? Four? All right. Excellent. Anything else happening in your world you'd like to mention?
No, we'll find out what other shows are going to be coming back, what new shows are announced. A lot of time travel shows look like they're coming in the fall, but we'll find out more about that this week as upfronts continue out in New York.
Right. Chat room thinks I smell toast. They think I'm having a stroke. I'm not. I just couldn't remember a name. All right. Well, it's majorspoilers.com, a place I go every day. You people should be going there too. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Always good to talk to you, Steven.
See you guys.
I'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye. I can't find his hang up. There it is. Haley Von
Stinkelparts. I like Stinkelparts.
It's almost got as good as Perlmutter, man.
There's a name that'll never get made fun of in school.
No. You'll be fine. No bullies. It'll be great. All right. we're going to call Veronica, see what's up with her and her life. Get the video game lowdown in the world of the video games. And I got a little thing I play, and that's right here. Where is it? Well, there it is. Oh, Veronica. Veronica and Belmont on the line. Hello, Veronica.
You guys took so long today. I kind of forgot I was doing the show and I was like, off doing other stuff.
We went way late. I'm so sorry. Hey, you were taking pictures of your dog and then someone's baby. Whose baby is that?
That's Roger's baby.
She's so cute.
I know. She's so cute.
Oh my gosh. Big dopey Roger has the cutest kid.
It's unbelievable. It's just like she's the cutest little thing. Oh, she looks like she does look like Roger, though. It's amazing. Oh, yeah. Like you look into her face and there's like I see the staring eyes of Roger Chang looking back at me.
Yeah, it reminds me Roger was once an adorable little baby at some point.
He was. No, they made an awesome kid. I mean, two awesome people made an awesome kid. Yeah. No big surprise there.
Way to go, Raj. Well, excellent. And Roger's wife. So it's good to talk to you. How are you? You're good? Everything's good?
I'm good. Yeah. Happy Monday.
You got a big, you're going to go speak some places and stuff soon. Like some.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to Montenegro at the end of the month.
Oh, my gosh. That is just that's intense, man.
I know. And I've never gone so far away by myself before.
Yeah.
And I'm not like meeting anybody I know. I'm just going to this conference in Montenegro by myself. So cool.
So geographically, my brain isn't even working here. Where the crap is Montenegro? I can't think of where that is.
It's in the Balkans.
Wow, that's amazing.
I'm not even really clear. Yeah, it's by like Kosovo and it's like
all right,
Macedonia, yeah.
Croatia, Bosnia, Herzegovina,
whatever.
Herzegovina. That one.
We're American as hell right
H-town.
Now.
So it's the Balkans, right?
So they know English and stuff, or do you have to know? This sounds intense.
Yes, it is in the Balkans. Okay. Balkans. Google tells me it is in the Balkans.
All right. This is intense, man.
Narrow strip of beaches along its Adriatic coastline, so it's on the Adriatic Sea.
You gonna get any time on those?
Beautiful.
You gonna go to those beaches and see stuff and all that?
I hope so. I don't know if I'm gonna have a ton of time. I'm speaking at this event, and then we're going on like a cruise around the sea for like a day.
Wow.
And then I don't know what else is gonna happen.
This is fancy.
There are some shots of Montenegro that look like Game of Thrones could have been filmed there too. Like you see all these great locations in Spain and Italy where they shoot, but they could definitely shoot in Montenegro too.
I don't know what the language there is or what their version of Walk of Shame is, but if anyone starts talking like that, get the hell out of there. Just run. No Cersei Lannister business in Montenegro.
It does look like a beautiful land.
Well, good. I'm hoping it all goes well. So you come on here on Mondays. We talk. And when we do, we talk about video games and what's going on in that particular world. What's going on today?
Oh, well, sad. I mean, we were all very sad about the closing of Lionhead Studios. Mm. But there are new reports out over on Polygon that apparently nobody wanted to work on Fable Legends. Like no one at Lionhead was like really that interested in working on Fable Legends. They wanted to work on Fable 4 and not work on the free to play game that was Fable Legends. That was in its, you know, I think it was in open alpha testing at this point. But now it's gone. It's closed.
So that game's not happening at all.
Game is not happening at all. Lionhead is dead. Nobody knows. The developers that were working on Lionhead have been like distributed potentially to other groups within Microsoft.
Because they own them now, right? They owned or they bought Lionhead some years ago.
Yeah, Microsoft was the big stakeholder in Lionhead.
It sounded like that went very well then, you know? Like
didn't go very well.
Yeah. And then also didn't let me try. I'm trying to think here. Fable 3 wasn't that well received. 2 was considered a huge hit and everyone loved it.
2 was great. Yeah,
2 seemed pretty good. Something went weird with 3. Then they got all into, we're going to use Kinect to wander through the forest. And Legends was that for a while. And then it was something else for a while. And then they got that Project Spark, which just today I heard got canceled, which was kind of like their way of saying, yeah, the create stuff Minecraft thing is huge. So we're going to make a game around that. And then they went and bought Minecraft and then they canceled that. It just seems like stuff's weird over there right now. Microsoft's in a weird, they're in a weird place.
It seems like they're gaming. I'm happy they're reaching out to PC gamers in a much bigger way. Like Windows 10 is definitely a move in the right direction for a lot of that. Yeah. But the Xbox stuff feels a little weird. Mm. Some of the other stuff feels a little weird. It's all a little weird, as you said.
A little weird, yeah. And like Molyneux, so when he was still there, he launched that Kickstarter for, what was that called? crap. Ralph tried to get me into it.
Dragon Age?
No.
Oh, no, that's a different thing. Molyneux. Never mind. Yeah. Sorry.
No. It's,
thinking the other.
I can't think of the game.
No relation.
It was the weird top-down little native people running around.
Oh. Yes, I played that. It was kind of cool.
It's like Populous, but...
Somewhere Ralph is like, it's this, you guys!
Yeah, he's losing his mind.
You played this with me. I can't remember. GLaDOS?
He listened... GLaDOS. GLaDOS? GLaDOS.
GOTAS.
GOAT-ASS.
GODUS.
GOAT-ASS. Got it. GOAT-ASS.
GOAT-ASS. That was kind of fun.
It was kind of cool, but then they got all weird with like some free-to-play stuff, and they didn't deliver on time, and then the final game was kind of broken, and then they fixed it, and then people were pissed. It just feels like that whole Molyneux star has fallen, you know, from where it used to be in these lofty heights in the sky.
I will just remember Black and White 2. I'm just going to leave that in my head for the rest of my life as being like the pinnacle, cool, awesome game.
You could throw your poo in that game.
Just throw villagers, eat villagers, be nice to villagers. I don't know. Be a giant lion. Okay.
I loved it. I was the big
monkey.
It was
so good.
Yeah, and you could poo and then throw your poo at a villager.
And the villagers were just,
please, great monkey, don't throw your poo at us.
You worked for what they call it. It was like the mana in the game was like, it was like belief.
Yeah.
But I can't remember, but there was a name for it. I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember either, but they had to, you'd build these monuments or whatever, and they would have to pray at them in order to give you energy to do what you had to do.
I want to find a port of that. There's got to be a port of that somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I bet it'll run.
Still.
I bet it run. I shouldn't say this without knowing, but I'll bet Steam. I bet you could get it on Steam.
You think?
Yeah, like a little $10, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, it's got to be like two. It can't be. You can't charge $10 for a game that came out in like, what was it? 2000?
2000? Like, my gosh.
It had to have been like 2000 or like late 1990s because I played it in college constantly. It was like the thing that kept me from doing my homework in college.
Oh, wow. No, yeah, that game was trouble. I remember losing a lot of time to it as well. But I don't know. It just makes me sad. It's like passing of the guard. This is like Microsoft when they bought Rare. And then Rare just kind of fizzled out. They just keep doing this. They keep buying stuff and then just kind of going, meh. And they never reach their previous potential. They never find great new ground. They just own a thing now. And then it just goes away. Like, remember how important Rare software was? They were huge when Nintendo was having them do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Microsoft buys them. We got like a couple of games, arguably pretty decent games. I like that. What was it? The Viva Pinata games were pretty neat.
Viva Pinata was fun.
Yeah, but then it just nothing. Like, what's...
Time to do the romance dance.
Yeah.
Romance dance.
Oh my gosh, I haven't played that in a long time. I forgot there was a romance dance.
Romance dance.
But anyway, I guess my point is it just sounds like Microsoft's slowly killing quality
developers.
Well,
they got Minecraft now, and that's all they need to care about because it's the moneymaker, so whatever.
Yeah, but you worry about that one day maybe. Like, you know, just suddenly they don't care about that or it just sort of dies on the vine because they don't give it whatever support they need. I don't know. I just don't think they're very good at this. This end of it. They're really good at parts of this game business. There's no question. I am not an anti-Microsoft guy. I like them. In fact, I really like Windows 10 right now. I'm a huge fan. I don't know what's happening with Xbox. It just feels real funky.
I haven't played Xbox in ages. I haven't played video games in ages. I've been totally out of the video game loop.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go back and remember when I finished The Witcher 2 and I finished it the day that the first expansion came out and I was like, I can't do it. Yep. Now I feel like a little more comfortable. It's been enough time that I feel like I can go in and do the first expansion now that the second expansion's out.
Oh, yeah. No, that means you just got plenty of content.
Content.
Yeah. That'll be all right. Content. Well, always good to talk to you. I guess we'll see you. We're going to see you next week. You're gone next week.
Am I gone next week?
I don't know. What are the dates? I forgot. 30th.
The 13th.
And...
The 30th. I'll be gone the 30th. So I'll be there next week.
Okay. You're here next week. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everyone, look forward to that. It's Veronica Belmont. Veronica on Twitter and all over the place. So find her. Be her. Be near her. No, don't do any of those things. I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay. Love you. Bye-bye.
All right. See ya. All right. Brian, I'm going to close it out with a couple emails if you'd like.
Sure. You know, I said Dragon Age when I was thinking Broken Age is the Kickstarter game, but even that's not Peter Molyneux. So.
No, that is...
But at least I was closer with the... That was one that was Kickstarter.
Double Fine something.
Yeah, it was Double Fine. Is that.
That's whatever. At one point, Molyneux was acting like he invented all the great ideas, so you're not that far off.
Sure. Okay, there we go. That's a good way to try and help me there.
Yeah, just deflect. It's fine. Eugene from Phoenix wrote in. He says, I bet I'm the one that gets killed in the Game of Thrones next season. No, I'm sorry.
Game of Thrones?
Wrong Eugene. Oh, I said Game of Thrones, I meant Walking Dead. Sorry.
Eugene of Harrenhal.
By the
Keeper
way.
Of the Fast Men.
By the way, I won't spoil the scene, but could what's his name, Bolton? Ramsay's Bolton be a bigger dick?
Oh, he is. He is such a dick. Such a different character than what he played on Misfits. Like, night and day.
Could not be more different. And he's just the biggest douche on TV.
Yeah, he is. He's great actor.
Yeah, he's really good at it. But I was so sad that, again, I don't want to give anything away, but that moment was sad for me because I really had high hopes for the resurgence of, you know.
Yeah, that character. Right? Mm-hmm.
Nope, not happening.
Nope. That character's going to be done.
Rotten way to go. All right. It is perfectly legal to be barefoot in restaurants, grocery stores, and most other establishments, says this person, Eugene from Phoenix. Because we talked about this, remember? Mm-hmm. No shirt, no shoes, no service. There is, in fact, no health code prohibition, the absence of shoes in these places. When you see a sign that says no shirt, no shoes, no service, those signs are put there by the company and are not there because of any law or health code. The rule is rarely enforced. Attached is a copy of the response letter from the Utah Department of Health regarding the issue. I went and read it. He's totally right. None of this has any legal standing. Hmm. Love the show, though, Eugene from Phoenix. So I guess that's just the prerogative of the owner of the place.
The establishment, right, to be able to say, okay, I'm going to prevent people from coming in there. But especially if it's not widely enforced, then what's the point?
Exactly. Here's one from, it's a KFC thing.
Okay.
Who's this from? This is from Chuck Byers of Barrington, New Hampshire. I'm Chuck Byers.
Hello, Chuck Byers.
Hi, guys. I know you make fun of KFC all the time, chicken-like products and whatnot, but my wife loves it, and we get it as a treat every once in a while. Really? All right. Anyway, I'll go on. I'm not going to judge. It's fine. We've been getting the tenders lately, as the kids don't like to deal with the bones. I'm the only one who likes dipping sauce for them. I usually got the barbecue or ranch or honey mustard, but recently the people at my local KFC turned me on to the, quote, finger-licking good sauce to dip the chicken fingers into. I have a whole stockpile of this sauce now in my kitchen. I use it on stuff we make at home, mainly frozen chicken nuggets and tenders. It tastes, you know what, you guys may be eating too much of this stuff is all I'm just going to point out there, New Hampshire.
I think it's just fine.
All right. He says, it tastes like gravy at KFC. That may not be a selling point for you, but I'm enjoying my new discovery. Also, the KFC coleslaw makes the best slaw dogs. Slaw dogs are a southern thing. I've had those before. They're great. Had my first one in Savannah, Georgia, back in 1986. Just grill up some hot dogs, put KFC coleslaw on them and a topping. Nothing else. Put the dog in a bun. Spoon on the KFC slaw and enjoy. Later. Love the show. It sounds to me like Chuck eats nothing but Kentucky Fried Chicken stuff.
I think it... You know, he says in the early in the email that he gets it as a treat every once in a while. I'm sure he's not going to KFC at dangerous levels. I don't think we have to worry about it.
Okay, all right. Yeah. When does he hit peak KFC, though? At what point do you think you're doing it too much, though?
Three times a week is too much.
Okay, all right. No, that's a good number. I think that's good.
Slaw dog sounds awesome. I'm a big fan of coleslaw on sandwiches and stuff. There was a place in Denver here called Goldie's Deli that used to make a version of the Reuben called the 52nd Street, where it was everything about a Reuben. So your roast beef, your Thousand Island dressing, your, you know, rye bread, but instead of sauerkraut, they used coleslaw.
Weird.
And made it 100 times better.
Really?
I think sauerkraut's fine, but coleslaw and roast beef, fantastic.
But it's got to be good coleslaw. Not like, I mean, KFC coleslaw doesn't strike me as good coleslaw.
I'm going to have to give it a shot. I know I've had KFC coleslaw, but...
All right. Listen, if you guys want a kid my son's age stirring up a big pot of goo and cabbage and think it's good, it's on you. It's on you.
Yeah.
Later. Oh, he says later. Okay, that's it for him. Thank you for the emails, everybody. We love you getting your emails. The morning
later, I pooped.
The morning stream at gmail.com is the email address. And you can also send voicemails to 801-471-0462. And a reminder that you can support this show at patreon.com/TMS. Sorry, everybody, I didn't get TMS PM up until Sunday night. I did not mean to do that. I completely spaced it, but you all got your fourth or your fifth episode last week on Sunday. We'll be back tomorrow with a whole new hoo-ha. Big thanks to alphageekradio.com for simulcasting the show. As always, go there and see how you can listen to the show live each and every day. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. And follow us on Twitter. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. And the show is at A Morning Stream. Not A Morning Stream, just Morning Stream.
Oh, yeah, don't confuse it. You might think that that little at sign makes the sound, but yeah, you'd be wrong.
I would be so wrong that I don't want to be right. All right, let's get out of here. Brian will now play a cover before
That's right.
We go.
Now you get your cover and your request. Austin from Boise, Idaho says, "Hey, Scotch Bright and Brillo Pad. On Monday, May 16th, I graduate from freaking law school and would love to hear a Fleetwood Mac cover on TMS before I make my graduation walk in my crazy Harry Potter robes. I wanted to request a Fleetwood Mac cover because that band has always been special to me as it reminds me of my father, a single parent who successfully catapulted me to where I am now. As much as this day is a celebration of my recent accomplishment, it's definitely a day to celebrate my incredible father. He's not only helped me accomplish my goals, he's also introduced me to important stuff like Diablo and StarCraft way back in the 90s. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't express my appreciation for both you and the entire Frog Pants family for giving me something to enjoy when I need to slog through difficult times."
Aww.
"Getting past the sappy stuff, Brian, if you can't track down a Fleetwood Mac cover, I'll settle for a little Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch. Love the show, though."
Damn it.
Austin.
Damn it. Hold on.
"It's a Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch."
Got it.
Cool.
Nailed it.
So a couple of the suggestions, a couple of Florence and the Machine covers of Fleetwood Mac songs. The only versions I could find online of those, well, we've played one of them. We played The Chain on the show before, but they did just recently a cover of Silver Springs. It's recorded from a cell phone in an audience, and it's okay marginal quality up until the guy who's holding the cell phone starts cheering and singing along. Dude, if you're gonna record. Yeah. But The Chain is such a great song. Let's go with a cover of The Chain. The one I'm putting in the show here is by Chris Blandon. It was from a 2013 compilation tribute to Fleetwood Mac's Rumours called Have You Heard the Rumours, featuring a bunch of artists doing covers of songs from that landmark album. Here is Chris Blandon and his cover of The Chain. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
A figure that is sexy, slim, tight, excellent legs.